Lesson number 11, New Covenant Ministries. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. God establishes the new covenant relationship with man. Then he restores in man, through his creative grace, the ability to live according to the statutes of the new covenant. Then through the plan of salvation illustrated by the sanctuary of the new covenant in heaven, he shows to us that we have access to a means of grace and power that is second to none. Jesus Christ is there as the mediator of this new covenant, as the provider of all the benefits of the new covenant through grace and mercy and love and faith and compassion, and the strength of His Spirit to make us adequate. Part number one, the sanctuary of the new covenant, God's dwelling place. The sanctuary on earth was modeled after the sanctuary in heaven. We can learn about the sanctuary in heaven only through the sanctuary on earth. No one has ever seen, no one has ever described the sanctuary in heaven. But the sanctuary on earth has been described with meticulous care. And as we saturate our minds with the sanctuary on earth, praying that the Holy Spirit will give us an insight into the meaning of the types and ceremonies and symbols and annual sequence of events, that then we can grasp what Jesus Christ, as the real high priest, is doing in the real sanctuary in heaven. First of all, the sanctuary is the dwelling place of God. Let them make a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. God's glorious throne is the place of the sanctuary. Jeremiah 17:12. And the man who attacks the sanctuary in heaven is attacking the throne of God. You will recollect that the little horn of Daniel 8 attacked the place of his sanctuary. Compare that with Jeremiah 17:12, and you will see that the purpose of the little horn's attack, the purpose of diminishing the sanctuary in heaven, is an attack against the throne of God. The pattern on earth revealed a reality in heaven. It was a model, a copy, a shadow, a representation. A shadow doesn't cast a shadow. There must be a reality to cast a shadow. The reality is in heaven. Jesus wants to have a tabernacle so that he might reveal to his people all that he would do for them. So he asked Moses to make a model, and he asks us to study. As we look at the Spirit of Prophecy recommendations, there are dozens of cases in which he recommends God's people to become familiar with the sanctuary on earth so that we might have a window to look into what Jesus Christ is doing in the sanctuary in heaven. There he is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. His merits and intercession are like the incense. He is presenting his blood as the great sacrifice. Part number two deals with sin and sacrifice. The wages of sin is death. With sacrifice there is cutting, there is slaughter. The substitute died in the sanctuary on earth to teach us that Christ's sacrifice is a death too. And Isaiah 53 picks up the story and shows to us all the sufferings that the sacrifice went through in order to be the substitute to procure the second chance for the sinner who should die. So Jesus Christ, as our sacrifice, procures for us an opportunity to live in the new covenant relationship so that his grace can sanctify us and prepare us for eternal life. Part number three, the Lamb of God. It's interesting that in John 1:29 and 36, the Baptist twice points out to Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. The first time was at his baptism, just after the Father had approved, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The sacrificial lamb was now approved by heaven. Immediately after, Jesus Christ went out into the desert for his 40-day encounter with Satan. And 6 weeks later, he came back. Now, how was man to know that during that time he had not sinned? And so, under inspiration, John the Baptist, for a second time, said, "Behold the Lamb of God. He is still the immaculate, impeccable, perfect, unsullied Lamb of God after his terrible ordeal." So Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us. He redeemed us, being made a curse for us. He is a substitute who took his place, took our place, and died in our stead. So as the Lamb of God was the substituted perfect sacrifice, pointing to Jesus Christ, the Savior fulfilled the reality of the type. Part number four, the place of the ministry. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the throne of God, a minister of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So Jesus Christ, as both priest and high priest, has been ministering since his ascension for mankind. The two chambers of the tabernacle, the holy and the most holy place, depict two aspects of Christ's ministry. One that is carried on daily, where the light and the bread and the blood and the incense perform their various functions, and the yearly, where the high priest once a year, with blood, carried out a cleansing ritual. These two phases, Jesus Christ as priest and high priest, has performed. The daily never stopped. Even on the Day of Atonement, the daily continued. The daily met the daily needs of God's people, their moment by moment needs for grace and forgiveness and power and light. Jesus Christ has been doing that. The yearly function of Jesus Christ in the most holy place commenced in 1844. Now, he didn't cease his function in the holy place, but he added to it his function in the most holy place. That of investigating, of questioning, of weighing, of scrutinizing, of listening to evidence, so that when that yearly function had been completed, there would be only two classes: those who were cleansed and those who were to be cut off. And Jesus Christ, in the real tabernacle, has been carrying on that real ministry ever since. If you want to see what is found in the sanctuary in heaven, why not read the book of Revelation through? And in chapter 1, you will find the seven candlesticks and the priest. In chapter 3, you will find the pillar in the temple. In chapter 8, you will find the altar, the censer, the incense, the tabernacle. In chapter 14, you will find the temple, as you will in 15:5, and in 16:21, chapter 4, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 5, 5, verse 6, 6, verse 9, you will see the laver, the sea of glass, you will see the lamps, the cherubim, the souls under the altar, and you will see the priest leading them. And that sanctuary ministry will continue until there is a new heavens and a new earth. And in the new heavens and the new earth, John noticed that there was no temple therein. So Jesus Christ in the sanctuary in heaven is the mediator and minister of the new covenant. Part number five, the heavenly ministry. The priests daily ministered, so Jesus Christ daily ministers. The high priest yearly ministered, so Jesus Christ yearly ministers. Just what the priests did, Jesus Christ did in fullness and reality. He is the mediator. There is one mediator. He is the intercessor. He is the advocate. So if any man sin, let him come to Christ. And Christ, if he confesses his sins, will forgive his sins. That's part of the daily ministry. And then he will cleanse, which is part of the yearly ministry. So 1 John 1:9 indicates the forgiveness of the daily and the cleansing of the yearly. Part number 6, the final act of the heavenly ministry is the judgment cleansing. And this work took place after the 1260 years. Now if you look in Revelation 12 and 13, the 1260 years started after the ascension of Jesus Christ. It was not fulfilled any time before the man-child was caught up to heaven. And after the 1260 years, there was a period in which the remnant church, which I believe is the Seventh-day Adventist church, out of which the invisible remnant will be saved, the remnant church finally suffered the full fury of the dragon's hatred, but would be judged righteous in the heavenly sanctuary. All this taking place long after Calvary.